Thank you, lady. Oh, the newest episode, by the way, of And That's Why We Drink.
Uh-huh.
They talk about Crazy Lady. They were like, apparently there's a new feature on Zoom meetings now. And I'm sitting here going like, how old is this episode? We've been dealing with Crazy Lady for a while.
Yeah. But
then I forgot that apparently M was traveling. So I think they recorded ahead of time. So they didn't have Crazy Lady, I guess, when they pre-recorded.
Crazy. It's weird, though, that she doesn't show up in the recording. Well, I guess she's before it starts recording, but you think it would still, like, catch the end of her.
Yeah, or there would be, like, a little ping.
Yeah.
Like an after, like, a leave your message after the beep type deal.
Exactly. But there's nothing. There's just, you have now started recording.
Like, this meeting is being recorded. It will start recording after the beep. Beep.
Beep.
Okay.
Now we're ready.
I could say all the things.
And not get cut off.
Not get cut off. I decided to, by the way, apparently play a drinking game last night while watching this episode of Supernatural.
Oh, what was the game?
It was good. It's a good drinking game. I found this on medium.com, Cinemania. And it starts with, spend the first minute of your episode, the part where someone dies, deciding on your drink of choice. And when the title card hits, take a shot.
Oh, okay.
Drink when Dean calls the Impala baby. Take a swig when you realize Sam magically has Wi-Fi. There's the magic Wi-Fi.
So this could go for any episode.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, okay. Last when Dean clenches his jaw, take a shot when Sam gives someone or something a bitch face.
Oh, Lord. That's a lot.
then it gets like wild. And I didn't do this because I didn't have anyone over because I'm unpopular.
You could have called me.
I would have. Take a shot from someone else's glass.
Oh, okay.
When Dean says, son of a bitch, or Sam says, get this.
Get this.
Chugwin's cast says, I don't understand that reference, which is great because he's still a baby in this season. Finish your drink when the angels act like dicks, which is great for the next couple episodes.
All the time.
Refill your glass when Dean cries out, Sammy! Toss it back when the boys call each other bitch or jerk. And then obviously later seasons, finish your drink when Jax does something adorable.
Oh, that's all the time.
I know.
Man, the later seasons, you're just going to be sloshy all the time.
Then my favorite is the ending. It goes, sing along with Carry On My Wayward Son plays, assuming you can drink and speak after drinking copious amounts of alcohol.
I like that, and I feel like you're going to have to post it.
I will share that on the medias so that people have a link, because I looked at a couple of the drinking games.
And yeah.
Some of them are good. And there's actually one that goes season by season, like certain things you can add to your season.
Oh, okay.
So you drink anytime a seal is broken for season 4.
I feel like we need to have a watch party for like one episode. Like find an episode that would do a lot of those. And have a group of our friends, our podcast friends, join along with us and just get schwasted.
I like it. I like it a lot. And then obviously at the end of them, they're all responsible. They're like, you can switch to water or anything else to drink or your choice at any time. Drink responsibly. Make sure you're drinking water while you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, don't get blackout. I don't want to be responsible for that.
No.
Be an adult.
Stay at home.
And you have to be an adult to join in.
Yes. Of age. All right. So, should we get into it? Is there anything we need to... Oh!
We gotta do the intro.
Yeah. Oh, that too. I was about to say, should we mention, since we constantly mention MementoCon?
Yeah, let's do the intro first, and then we'll...
Okay.
Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy.
Hi, Liz!
Hey, Miss!
We tried to start this shit without hitting the intro, which is like, can't do that.
Nope. But we tried anyway.
Definitely tried.
Oh, man.
Okay, sorry.
No. Why are you apologizing? So, yeah, a couple house cleaning things. We are, 2 months away from Hunter Happy Hour for the summer?
Yeah, pretty much exactly 2 months away.
So I should get working on that beverage. I was so distracted by Loki, the series, that I had to find a cocktail to drink on the first episode of that. That I have gotten sidetracked. We made a cocktail called Bourbon with Glorious Purpose.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And then MementoCon, which for those of you that have listened to us, we are a big supporter of MementoCon, September 4th through the 5th in Pittsburgh at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. They just made an announcement that Rachel Miner will not be attending.
I hope everything's okay with her.
I know. I'm wondering if it's her MS.
Yeah.
She apparently also canceled a couple other things, so... Thoughts and prayers out to her that everything is okay.
They did, however, she is on the ticket for next year.
Yes.
MementoCon already. So in May, I think, of 2022, she's already on there for that.
But in lieu of that, they are now offering Ruth Connell.
I love her so much.
So now you can get a duo photo op with Ruth Connell and Mark Shepard. So it could be Rowena Crowley and you. You'd be part of a weird family photo.
I would just want to, okay, first of all, that is amazing.
I know.
Because I already have it how I would want it to be in my head. But then I would have to get her to call him Fergus. Like Fergus. Like, can you please call him Fergus?
There's no referring. Oh, there was a drinking game where it was like drink every time Crowley refers to himself as the king of hell.
Which is funny because she's younger than him, right?
Yes.
So it's just funny that she's his mom. But like...
But she is a witch who is, you
That's
know...
That's true. Yes. Yes. But, oh, my God. That would be so cool.
So that's exciting. So obviously sending all the positive love to Rachel Miner, but yes. Also very excited for Ruth Connell and Mark Shepard photo ops.
Just think of all the cool duo photo.
Voodoo ops.
Well, voodoo ops you can get. Like, you have them, and then you have Bobby and Rufus, and then...
Yeah, Richard Spade Jr. and...
Rob Benedict. Yeah. So much fun. Oh, I can't wait.
Well, you can also do Mom and Son, too, with Austin Chow.
Yeah.
And Lauren Tom. But, yeah, so that's exciting. That's very exciting. So this episode we are talking about is... Season 4, Episode 8, Wishful Thinking.
Only known as the Teddy Bear episode.
Yes. This came out November 6th, 2008, and takes place in Concrete, Washington.
It's an interesting name for a town.
I know. I wonder if they just were like, you know what? We got nothing else.
So we're just kidding. Do you think concrete makes a lot of concrete?
Watch there be no concrete.
Not even on the streets, no. The sidewalks, nope. All stone, gravel.
I mean, it is Washington State, so. Not a stab to Washington State. I've actually never been there, and I want to go sometime, but I've heard it rains a lot.
It rains a lot here. I actually heard that it rains more in Pittsburgh than it does in Seattle.
I also heard that, which blows my mind, but it also does rain a lot here. We also have, like, the least amount of sunshine.
Yes, we do. How sad is that? But you know what's weird is if I went to a place, like Florida on vacation is awesome and California on vacation is awesome. But if I had to live somewhere where there was sun all the time, I don't know what I would do with myself.
I would have a severe skin problem.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be burned all the time. But I don't know what I would actually do because I'm not used to it. Like, I'm sure after a while I would get used to it, but like living for 30 plus years in a place like this is just like, it would be a totally different world.
Plus, like, I have blue eyes, so the sun hurts me.
Yeah.
Like, more ways than just like one.
It hurts me everywhere.
It's one of the reasons that I've never gotten LASIK, because I've heard that you get, like, it makes your eyes even more sensitive.
Oh.
And my eyes are already massively sensitive.
Yeah.
So, although weird was seeing my eyes not blue when I was at the convention. I didn't even use my gold contacts while we were there. Just the green ones, and it was still wild.
It would be crazy to have different color eyes.
I've had the red ones before, and those don't bother me, but I also don't... They weren't prescription, which, by the way, if anyone out there listens and cosplays, prescription contacts are the way to go.
Yeah, the colored ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are definitely the way to do it.
I've never tried contacts. Never? No, never. Well, my eyes were never, like... My doctor was like, well, they're not really, like, bad enough to, you know, warrant contacts every day. But now that I wear my glasses every day, I might look into it.
Yeah, I get, like, the phantom glasses for, like, I'm used to pushing my glasses up, so...
Oh, my God, me too!
I'll, like, do it without glasses and not know what the hell I'm doing.
And then you go, wait a minute, why isn't there anything there?
There's nothing stopping me. I'm about to hit myself in my eyeball.
You do. You poke yourself in the eye, you're like, shit, what happened?
But I played too many sports to not be able to wear contacts like I had to.
Yeah.
But it took me a long time to get used to wearing them and actually getting them in my eyes.
So that's what I'm worried about. And then you hear like the people where it like goes back behind their eye and I'm like, I don't know. But then if I don't wear my glasses, like I don't want to wear them, you know, but then I get a headache. So.
Yeah. And to be honest, I've also been really, and I've been a very, in my early 20s, quite an irresponsible contact wearer.
Yeah.
Where I would not on purpose, but like after a couple of nights, fall asleep in them.
Yeah.
But the only problems I ever had really were that my eyes were dry.
Okay.
And I also was known for wearing them. Like I'd have the, not dailies, but I'd have like the 30 day contacts.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much known because I didn't wear them every day. So I was like, well, okay, it's like a 30 day.
Is that 30 times?
Yes,
or
it was 30 times. And I definitely stretched that shit.
Oh my goodness. Okay, sorry, I got us sidetracked.
No, you're good. Let's get a good synopsis on wishful thinking.
Okay. Sam and Dean investigate Concrete, Washington, a small town where the wishing well really works. A teddy bear comes to life. A boy who was always bullied gets super strength. Someone wins the lottery, and the town geek gets a hot girlfriend, which ended up being kind of creepy toward the end.
Yeah, that was real weird. Also, like, the fact that Dean was kind of all about the, like, the strength kid and the bullying for a hot minute.
Yeah.
Also, I was like, Dean, come on. Like, that's not okay.
No. The brothers realize that while everyone is happy, the end result will be disastrous because the magic will inevitably go wrong. The boys find the origin of the magic coin that causes a fountain to become a wishing well, being that the coin's power is drawn from the goddess Tiamat. The only way to reverse the wish is for a person who put the coin in there to remove it. Turns out to be the geek, and he is reluctant to do so for obvious reasons. I mean,
no,
he's not letting that go, even though she's starting to like annoy him.
Why can't you just love somebody for who they are?
I don't know. But then when she, okay, we'll get to that, how she doesn't remember anything. I don't understand that. But after one of the wishes results in Sam's death, he removes the coin, reversing all the wishes. Sam melts the coin down. At the same time, Dean helps the kid who is bullied keep up his new image of strength to prevent bullying in the future. Sam asks Dean what Uriel meant by Dean remembering hell. Dean finally admits to Sam that he does remember everything that happened in hell, but refuses to tell him anything else, as Sam wouldn't be able to understand.
Come on. I'm getting real tired of this you won't understand bullshit. Dean says it to Sam. Sam says it to Dean. Like, you don't understand, bro. You didn't have demon blood put in your mouth when it happened as a baby. You wouldn't understand what I'm going through. And Dean's just like, hey, so I made a deal with the devil with my soul to save you, to bring you back because you died.
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand because you were dead. And then I had like a very finite time, which you wouldn't understand. And then I went to hell and experienced that, which you wouldn't understand. Like, why can't you guys just sit down over a couple of beers and explain your bullshit to each other?
Yeah. But then, like, Sam was pushing Dean the way Dean was pushing Sam, and he didn't understand that was, like, the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I just don't, why can't you tell me? Like, why can't you just tell me what happened?
You're like, okay, you tell me about Ruby. What the fuck's going on with that bullshit?
Exactly. Tell me about that. Tell me about demon blood stuff. Like, bleh. I just get annoyed at the whole
rabble,
thing.
Rabble.
Exactly. That's all I hear. Wah, wah, wah. Oh, the because we see the invisible kid at the beginning, right? He's at the beginning?
Yes.
The invisible kid is another kid that's on the Disney Channel. He's on Austin Alley, and he plays Austin Moon's best friend, Dez.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So are the kids just going to Disney from the CW, or the CW just stealing Disney kids?
I don't know. Maybe they're working together. Because I saw a clip from Lucifer. And one of the girls that's on Bunked is on Lucifer. So I don't know what's happening. If they're like, hey, you need a kid? I got to look at the Disney Channel kids. Take one of them. Bring them back when you're done. Not damaged, because they have to do happy Disney shows. But
don't worry. It'll come back later in life. Oh, man.
It's weird. I got to find that thing again that was like all the kids that were on Supernatural that were on the Disney Channel.
Also, how... like, on the nose versus, like, not original, is it that some kid decided to go invisible and, like, peek on the girl's shower?
Yeah, I don't... And why did he move when she threw the towel on him? When she threw the towel, why didn't he, like, step aside?
I don't know.
Instead of, like, having the towel fall on him.
And he apologizes nervously, like, what? That doesn't make okay.
Then he helps her up when she falls down the steps.
I mean, that was quite gentlemanly, but, like...
Don't tell my mom. Please don't tell my mom.
Everything about this was just real funny.
Yeah.
Like the little girl on a bike dropping off a box of alcohol and porn with a sorry note. A busty Asian beauty magazine falling at Dean's feet.
The bear is like the best thing.
Teddy bear.
And I feel so bad for him. And I remember the first time I watched it, and I was like, Teddy's really not going to try to kill himself, is he? Which isn't funny at all. It's not a funny situation. But then the puff of...
Yeah, that killed me. When you, all of a sudden you just hear it in this little... Because, so my sexy jitsu is essentially made from that polyfill. So currently that polyfill is all around our craft room.
You had Teddy Fluff.
Teddy Fluff, yeah.
But then when they were discussing about how they were going to kill Teddy, they're like, do we burn him? Do we shoot him? Both? Like, I don't know. But then poor Teddy can't die.
No, he can't. He just did it. And he was just like, why?
And I like that her mom and dad are like, where they go Bali or whatever, just leaving her with the teddy bear.
Also the fact that, like, with her describing it, it's just like, yeah, he's big, he's really good talk. He's in the middle of an existential crisis. He's just in a room by himself crying at news.
Why? Why? I don't want to be alive.
Also, like, how, I don't know. I never wished when I was a kid that my stuffed animals could, like, come alive or talk. But I also grew up in the world of small soldiers.
I never had those thoughts either. I never wanted anything to come to life.
No, I think I had too many, like, experiences with small soldiers and stuff to, like, be okay with my toys coming alive.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I also had porcelain dolls, and those were straight out of a horror movie, so I did not want those to come alive at all.
I had porcelain dolls, too, and looking back on it, I wanted to know why I wanted them so bad, because they were creepy looking. I don't know. And I wasn't allowed to touch them, so it was like, what was the point of having them? I couldn't dress them. It wasn't like an American Girl doll where you can, like, play with it.
Yeah.
It sat on a stand staring at you.
With those creepy eyes and that head that could potentially turn.
Those dead doll eyes.
Also, the fact that Dean's on research duty in this episode.
Yeah.
You find that a little weird?
I found it very weird.
And that Sam is the one that goes and, like, scolds a pervy teen. But I feel like that's on the nose for Sam. I definitely feel like he's, like, the responsible mom who's like, you know, you should do better.
Yeah.
That was wrong of you to do. You need to go apologize. He's a good dude. No, you should go do it again. Don't do it again. Don't make that wish.
But then the kid gets hit by a car. Their car. They hit him by the car with the car.
They hit him with the, yeah. Yep. This episode was funny. And I've also realized that if the boys meet at any kind of body of water, they're going to have a legitimate conversation.
Yeah, that's the serious conversation spot.
Like, because obviously they meet at the pier to confirm that the coin's been melted down. And that's when, obviously, Dean confesses to Sam.
Yeah. Or someplace with a fence.
I also feel like if Sam knows his brother at all, he should just be able to take the one thing his brother's offering him and know not to push it yet.
Yeah, you would think.
Because obviously Dean is coming clean with the fact that, yes, he does remember hell. But even then, like, I don't even know if Dean realized he did remember hell until it started kind of coming back.
Right.
So he was probably trying to just digest what was happening after everything he's been through.
Like, I don't even know what happened yet. Let me figure it out first. And then if I want to, I will tell you. Like, what? They're so pushy. Pushy. Yeah. Nebby. They're Nebby Nancy's.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Sam's just like, okay, well, tell me more. He's the girls from Greece. He's like, tell me more.
More. Tell me more. Now, everybody talks about their feelings like they did on Gilmore Girls, okay?
Nope.
Dean.
Come on. He should know that of anybody.
How doesn't the girl remember what happened to her? The girl with the geeky guy. Yeah.
So I think in this situation, like, the magic takes over and, like, it's not really them. It's kind of like the magic possessing them, because obviously I don't think she would do half the stuff that she did normally.
Yeah.
It's not like she had these feelings for him and they got magnified or whatever.
So then it just erases.
Yeah, I think it was essentially just like a possession.
Okay.
Kind. Where.
I gotcha.
Not like the demon where you can see what's happening.
Right.
But maybe that's. Wiped blank.
Maybe that's what I was just used to. You know.
Yeah, that's what we're used to. You massacred like 18,000 people. Cool. I took a backseat to that and watched it all happen.
Yeah.
But I think since this was magic.
Okay.
It's different.
Well, maybe I can ask Rowena one day.
Yes. We need to know more about this. Also, Sam with the violent wishes. Like, not even wishing for Jessica back. Just straight out the gate. Just, nope. I want Lilith's head on a plate. Bloody.
Bloody. Yeah. That's what was, ooh, Sam.
Damn, maybe you should take a step back from that demon blood, bro.
Chill out, dude.
Oof.
This is the start of Dean's drinking problem. Like, he's drinking all the time. Oh, and at the end, Sam does that little eye roll look away thing.
I hate that.
It just makes you want to punch him in the face.
Oh, man. He's... Mm.
And he just said, you know, that... Oh, shut up.
He was a hair flip away from a smack.
You smack him and then his hair flips the other way.
Then you get that side look with the hair in the face and like one strand in the mouth. Like, how could you?
Hurt. So hurt on his face. Oh, it's so bad because it's exactly what I pictured in my head.
I know. This means it's so close to being real.
I'm sure it does happen. I'm sure there's an instance.
Oh, there's at least a blooper of that somewhere. Has to be.
And we will find it.
Oh, I've been on a blooper reel, like, roll. I've been on a blooper reel. I have many a time. But I'm in a blooper roll. And a parody roll.
I started to watch the 2-hour... behind the scenes
of the Hillywood.
I had to stop it though because, you know, I had to actually work, but I can't wait to get back into it because those are amazing.
Oh man,
the Hillywood... think how the thing is like what 15 not even 15 minutes long, maybe the actual thing.
Yeah, it's like maybe 8 minutes, I think,
but then the behind the scenes is 2 hours.
Oh man, so anything else about this episode?
I'm going to
smack Sam for his eye roll.
That's pretty much it. That's how I ended the episode. So I'm going to end talking about the episode.
All right. So should we jump into your tiddly bits?
Sure.
All right.
What? Oh. Well, I don't know now. depends on what you're talking about.
Phrasing.
Jump into your tiddly bits.
Let's just jump into your tiddly bits.
That might be the name of this episode.
Let's just jump on into the tiddly bits.
Jared Padalecki said that during the day of filming the scenes in the Chinese restaurant, he was actually suffering from very bad food poisoning. Most of what you see on screen was filmed by Jensen alone, with Jared coming in and doing all his coverage at the end of the day.
Interesting.
So I guess he didn't want to puke on anybody.
I mean, I appreciate that. I don't think anybody wants to be puked on, especially like not this kind of an episode.
I'm pretty sure Jensen appreciated that also.
Yeah, Jensen would be like, we are in too close.
Yeah, he needs to.
Plans for this. I need you to.
Back up, son.
Yeah.
Anita Brown, the actress who plays Hope, also plays Lindsay in season one, Skin. Try not to remember that. I think she was the girl who got tied up.
Oh, also weird fact. I don't know what happened. Nicole and I were talking about something, and since you said skin, if you want to feel worse, skin slippage.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Oh,
I've obviously been listening to way too much true crime.
Yeah, that's a quote from In That's Why We Drink.
Yeah.
Skin slippage. Disembodied feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Continue about this episode.
So Anita also appeared in an episode of Dark Angel, which also starred Jensen. I didn't know what that was. Do you know what Dark Angel is?
Isn't that Jessica Biel?
I don't know.
I never watched it because...
We'll go with it.
Dark Angel drama series. Oh, not Jessica Alba.
Oh, okay.
They actually had Michael Weatherly, who's in NCIS.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Gotcha.
Yeah, it was that one. It's a genetically enhanced superhuman prototype.
Ooh.
Yeah, that thing.
Okay. Well, when they're going to Audrey's house, Dean asks if this is a Harry and the Hendersons deal. Harry and the Hendersons from 1987 was actually filmed in Index, Washington. The movie is about a family who hits Bigfoot with their car and how he comes to live with them. I used to love watching Harry and the Hendersons.
I think I watched it once.
Oh, we used to watch that probably when they put it on TV more than on a VHS. I like that John Lithgow was in it.
I know of it, but I don't think we ever really watched it.
No.
For whatever reason.
Did you ever watch Batteries Not Included? Is that what it's called?
Mm.
Was that the one with the spaceships? I don't know. Maybe that was Cocoon.
I've seen Cocoon.
Now I'm lost in 80 movie land. We'll come back to that. This episode is a mirror of the book Needful Things by Stephen King. In the book, as in this episode, people receive their heart's desires only to have their desires backfire against them. Michael Tegan voices Teddy, the suicidal teddy bear. He previously played a teacher in the Bloody Mary episode.
Okay.
After the formerly bullied kid named Todd shows a display of superhuman strength by turning a car on its side, the kid screams, "Kneel before Todd!"
That killed me.
This refers to the Kryptonian general Zod that is responsible for the destruction of Krypton in the Superman universe and uses the line when he wants someone to show him respect or loyalty. Kneel before Zod.
And you know what? Only a true god only has to say one word to make an entire gender kneel.
The annoyingly cheerful waiter at the beginning of the episode is a reference to Brian from the movie Office Space, a waiter who has very similar personality and also wears too many pieces of flair. Really, the Fridays, that was like their thing. All the buttons. Oh,
the flair, yeah.
All the flair on their suspenders.
They make a joke about that in Waiting.
Dean says, "So what? Bigfoot breaks into a liquor store, jonesing for some hoots, amaretto and Irish cream. He's a girl drink drunk. Which is a reference to a well-known sketch in the Canadian comedy series Kids in the Hall about a man who gets drunk on stereotypical female drinks. Dean says, or it's a Bigfoot, you know, and he's some kind of alcoholic porno addict, kind of like a deep woods Duchovny, which is a reference to extracurricular activities of actor and X-Files star David Duchovny. The porn magazine Sam sees left behind in the store is called Backside. It is the same magazine Dean gives him as a present in season 3, episode 8, A Very Supernatural Christmas.
Skin mags.
Audrey also drops a copy of Busty Asian Beauties, which we know how much Dean loves.
Oh, that's Dean's number one all-time fave.
Although Sam often wears biker boots like Dean, when he is struck by lightning and flew out of his shoes, they were clearly Puma suede trainers with white stripes. The same shoes Sam lost in Bad Day of Black Rock.
He found his shoe!
I think he just went to...
Oh my god, that's what it was, because he got the bad luck from the bunny foot, but then he wished for it at the wishing well. And he got his shoes back.
Oh, Sam's reunited.
And it feels so good.
And then he was blown right out of him.
Oh, parting is such sweet sorrow.
All I wanted was my shoes back.
I just wanted the one who lost my shoe.
They're so comfortable. The shower scene in the episode teaser references the famous shower scene in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, in which Marion Crane, played by Janet Leigh, is brutally stabbed and left to die. This marks the second time that Sam Winchester has died. The first time was obviously in All Hell Breaks Loose Part 1, but this was a small death. He wasn't dead that long. He still has like 200 deaths to catch up to Dean from the one episode.
The mystery spot. Yeah. Also, as a side note, I was curious, so I looked at I didn't look up Busty Asian Beauties because I'm not sure. But I was curious.
Not on your work computer. It would tell you no.
It would, because it tells me I can't go to Me Costumes.
Yeah.
It apparently has lingerie and bathing suits, and I'm like,
I tried to go to Third Love, and it was like, no, you can't, it's lingerie. And I was like, excuse me, yes I can, and I clicked the button.
I clicked the button.
You can't tell me what to do.
So I was curious. I was like, well, he likes Busty Asian Beauties. Busty Asian Beauties is like a form of hentai. So I wonder, is there a thing about Dean and hentai to tie it back to the anime convention that I went to? And I all of a sudden I just searched Dean loves hentai. There's a YouTube video. There is a bunch of websites. It's Supernatural Babe, Dean loves anime or hentai. So apparently,
oh my god,
Dean is also into hentai.
That's a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's his love of Busty Asian Beauties and oh my gosh, why can't I think? I keep saying commercials and that's not cartoons.
Wow. Interesting.
Yep. Had
it's
to.
It's like, okay. Okay. Supernatural can take you in all different directions.
Who knew? It ties all of my life together completely. Ghosts, anime.
Look at that. This is the perfect show for you.
It really, and like, I avoided it for forever, which is awful. What was I doing?
And look at you now.
I'm the co-host to an amazing podcast, is what's going on.
Yes! I also avoided it for a long time, so I should... I'm not throwing any shade your way. Okay, that's all I had.
That's all you got?
Wait, we're coming out of my tiddly bits now.
All right, so here is what I got. All right, so I didn't do it, but I wanted to touch on Tiamat, the goddess.
Okay.
Tiamat is a personification of the primordial sea from which the gods were first created. And she is also the main adversary of Marduk. Her functions as a goddess are difficult to establish, but she essentially ties to the primordial sea and bodies of water, which would tie to the wishing well, obviously. And in Enuma Elis, Tiamat is the mother of all gods. Together with Abzu, she creates Lamu and Lahamu, who in turn beget Ansar and Kisar. So that's a little bit about her.
We're begetting.
Her name is uncontracted from the word Tamtu, meaning sea. So she's all about that water.
All about that water.
About that water. All right. So actually, I was going to do the history of wishing wells.
Ooh. Okay, I did not see this coming, but you have piqued my interest.
I was curious. I was like, you know what? I could do Tiamat, but you know what? I'm actually more curious about this wishing well thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wait, let me get situated.
Just snuggle on in.
Pulling on my headphones. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. So many cultures actually believe water is the key to life and also the very essence to life. Ancient European cultures believed underground springs were actually gifts from the gods containing sacred water. And in turn, they would actually drop small tokens of appreciation in the waters to thank the gods. All major civilizations develop around bodies of water. Around large bodies of water, they were key to trade as well as defense. And clean water was vital to a community. So to protect clean water, structures were actually built, aka wells, around them to protect them. And these wells quickly became a meeting place because everybody needed to go to the clean water. Wishing wells were actually seen as a symbol of good luck and good fortune. And according to Nordic mythology, Mimir, the Nordic god of wisdom, the wisest of all beings, actually stands and guards his well, which is where the water meets. And it's where the world tree gets its sustaining water. And if something is either sacrificed to Mimir, and it doesn't have to be anything, like you're not, like last episode, sacrificing 3/4 of your village.
Your firstborn child.
Yeah, firstborn child, your first cow, and whatever else you want to. So if you were to sacrifice something to Mimir, your wish would be granted. And actually, back in Norse mythology, Odin sacrificed his eye to the well in order to gain wisdom, in order to save the world from destruction. So he sacrificed his eye to the well or to the god Mimir, the god of wisdom, in order to gain wisdom. There is a runic charm called the Wishing Charm from Iceland that's a circle with three dippers surrounding it, which represent the crescent moon. And this is also thought to be a symbol of good luck. There were sacred women used to guard and honor springs and wells, and only women. In Germanic society, they used to believe that spirits actually lived in wishing wells who would grant the wishes as they pleased. So what you would do is you would put something in the well that would hopefully appease these water spirits that would then help make it more possible to grant your wish. But they didn't necessarily, unlike Mimir, when you would sacrifice something, they wouldn't necessarily just grant it. It would just be how they're feeling that day because water spirits are fickle.
I don't feel like doing that today. Come back.
Yeah, you know what? That button's real cool, but I'm just not feeling it today.
No, I need something better.
So in Celtic tradition, they believed throwing a coin in the well would appease the goddess Coventina, who is a Roman British goddess of wells and springs. And there was actually a historical wishing well found in the county of Northumberland in England that was found and unearthed thousands of coins from different eras dating back to the Roman Empire, including 16,000 coins dating back to the 1st and 5th centuries.
Holy crap.
So this has been a thing forever, but there's no like definitive timeline of when people started believing in wishing wells.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
So there is a specific well called the Well of Penrice in Oxford, and it is a popular wishing well that dates back to the late 1800s, and people believed that the water actually had healing powers. So unlike having magical powers for wish granting, they believed that this well had supernatural power to cure people and heal things.
Ooh.
And they believed that if you tied a piece of clothing to a branch and tossed a pin, button, or coin into the well, people believed that would help cure you. Because what ended up happening is people believed that clothing was a vehicle of the disease. So by removing that clothing and offering a sacrifice or an offering, that person would be cured.
Okay.
And here's a throwback to a good friend. So Pliny the Young.
Oh my God, Pliny!
AKA Gaius Caecilius, who was a lawyer, author, and magistrate of ancient Rome, who was the nephew of our buddy Pliny the Elder.
Good old Pliny.
Classic Pliny.
I'm glad that his name was, you know, carried on to other people.
It was. So he actually helped raise Pliny the Younger.
Oh, that's nice.
So Pliny the Younger actually mentioned in a few of his works of individual springs converging to create a still body of water, and that stillness and calmness of the water would actually make that water crystal clear, enabling people to see all of the coins and pebbles of the bottom, which is wild. Like water, like just completely converging and then just staying still.
That's crazy.
So you would get a glimpse at these pebbles and the coins that people have thrown in hope of wish attainment. In European cultures, obviously people viewed underground springs as unique and valued sacred water as the pious gift to humankind from the gods above. And to hail the deities for the generous gift of the sacred water, people would often drop tokens in groundwater springs, but later they would start using coins. So it wasn't always that they used coins. They would drop whatever they could in there, whether it's like a button or...
She like accidentally did like a Titanic drop.
No.
Oh, there goes my diamond necklace. I can't get it back.
Little known fact. So beyond like any kind of folklore connections, modern scientists actually believe that leaving coins add to water's unique properties. So most fresh water is not always fit for drinking during early times because it remained overloaded with bacteria, which had the possibility of causing infections. So the addition of silver and copper coins actually in the wells reversed the effect by killing germs and ensuring the water's safety.
Oh, that, okay.
I don't think they did that on purpose.
No, it just like, happened to happen. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And let me see if I can find it in my notes. So what you would do if you wanted to go to a wishing well, which obviously that's still a thing. Obviously, Snow White made it very prevalent in Disney, where she sat by making her wish and singing, which people actually do go to Disney. And there is a Snow White wishing well. What you would do is you would go to the wishing well and you would utter your wish. And then you would generally drop your coin after uttering your wish. That wish would then be granted by the guardian or dweller based upon how the coin would land at the bottom of the well. So if the coin actually landed heads up, the guardian of the well would grant the wish. But if the wish of the coin landed tails up, it would be ignored, which is why you should always flip your coin.
Boop.
Because not only are you wishing for something, which obviously you can't really control fate, but by trying to wish for something, you are potentially trying to control fate in some way. By flipping your coin, you are actually allowing fate to kind of decide for you whether or not that wish is, which I will now tie back to Loki. And the TVA and the flow of time.
Of course.
As to whether or not that wish should be granted. And I got my notes from ancientsymbols.com, historyofyesterday.com, historydaily.org, and anthropology.uci.edu.
I like historyofyesterday.com.
History of Yesterday is really good. I liked them a lot. They actually had a lot of the information that I got. And I liked how they phrased a lot of their stuff. They broke it down to like Germanic tribes and European cultures, Celtic goddesses, Nordic, Norse mythology. So they're pretty good.
Very cool.
But that's all I got on wishing wells.
I like that. Something different.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to the wishing well at Walt Disney World?
I've seen it, but I've never actually made a wish in it.
Yeah, I think I always walk past it and I never like go over to it, which is a shame. We really didn't take advantage of our time when we went in September.
So that's why you just got to go again.
It was like the perfect time because like nobody was there. Like, oh, we should have done all this stuff. Oh, well.
Next time.
Next time. Next pandy.
Yes. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully no, not. No. Take that's it back.
I take it back. It was a joke.
So next episode, we will be on season 4, episode 9. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I like that movie.
Me too. Makes me want to go watch it. Maybe after this episode.
I think I might do that today.
Hell yeah.
I got nothing else to do.
Do it. So anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, guys. Well, join us next time for episode 9, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can email us, slide into the DMs, tweet at us. You know the drill. And thank you guys so much for listening to us. Don't forget to share us with your friends, like us, and leave reviews. Thanks. Bye. Bye. Yeah.
You've been listening to Balls, a Supernatural podcast with Lizzie and Missy. If you want more, follow on Twitter and Instagram at SBN Balls Pod or email sbnballspod@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow Balls on your favorite streaming service.